Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. Without any delay, here is Olana Henkvinsky, candidate for mayor of Port Hope. I'm so pleased to have with me today Olana Henkvinsky, candidate for mayor of Port Hope. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you very much, Robert. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
There may be some people who don't know you, so let's begin with you introducing yourself as a candidate for mayor.
Well, I grew up in rural part of Grafton. My childhood was spent there, so I have a 53-year history and attachment to this beautiful county. I've lived in Port Hope since 2016. I've had my home in Port Hope since 2016. In terms of some of the things that I've done in the community, you may have heard of the Ukrainian families that have come into our county. I'm the one that started and established Northumberland for Ukraine Families, and we've now got 31 families on the ground here in the community. I've also helped them to start a new restaurant in downtown Port Hope, which is going to be called Cafe Lviv, just across from the PharmaSafe. During the pandemic, my partner and I started Northumberland Goods and Services, and that particular business helped local farmers and local merchants have their products delivered during the lockdown across the county. And I also caregive for two elderly parents at home who are 87 and 92. So I've had a lot of interactions with the community services that are available here for aging in place. And I also certainly know the challenges of long-term care in our community as well.
Your campaign website promises a municipal government that works for and with the community. It talks about building a new culture in council and amongst municipal staff. It also says the public needs to trust that the municipality is working for the good of Port Hope. Can you give me an example of where you feel the municipality has not worked for the community?
Well, Robert, my professional background is that of a political scientist. So I have spent the last 25 plus years of my career looking at how governments work, looking at governance structures, understanding when you have a well-functioning government, and then also the importance of the relationship between who is representing us and the staff that work to support those representatives. So I feel that I have some pretty good insights on what makes good governance or excellent governance structures and practices. The first thing that I would do is to try to make people feel that Port Hope is actually that Port Hope. I've heard during the many walks and talks over the last number of weeks, people saying that they don't like to engage with staff. They don't feel that they're heard. They don't feel like they get the responses that they need when they reach out. And I've even heard people say things like, "Well, Port Hope is not Port Hope, it's Port Nope or Port Hopeless." And I want to change that. I want people to actually think this is a positive and inspiring place to live. And so I would start with, you know, just a few very practical things. And that is, when a new council is elected, to take folks on an organizational retreat and do the things that any organization would do to set a new direction and new culture with new people on board. And that's as simple as doing things like a strengths and weaknesses and opportunities and threats analysis of our individual strengths and capacities and competencies, talk about how we would like to work together, strike a kind of new covenant, discuss how we're going to build consensus, discuss how we're going to overcome some of the conflicts that will inevitably come up, and really to identify the issues that brought us to get elected, what the community has said that it needs so that they understand they've been heard and that we're being responsive. And at the same time, I would like us to strike a covenant with the CAO, between the CAO and council, outlining roles and responsibilities and expectations. I'd like the staff to be inspired to do better through professional development opportunities, to better understand what they need to do their jobs, and to improve on the things that we've heard during this campaign. And what I would commit to doing in my first 90 days is to sit down with each staff member and ask them about their job, how they do it, what are some of the challenges, what are the, some of the supports that they need, and to have them have an opportunity to share ideas on how they think that their work in the municipality overall can be improved. Really want to work on both of those fronts so that we're all working in concert, and that so that we can demonstrate to the public that there is a new chapter in Port Hope.
Where do you think council has broken the public's trust?
Well, I think that what I have heard at the doors and with the people that I've spoken with is that they feel that once council gets elected, that they don't have enough communication on how decisions are made. They don't understand why certain decisions are made. They don't always trust that bringing concerns forward are heard and acted upon. Communication is key. The other issue I hear often is transparency is not there. So when a decision is made, what is it based on? What kind of evidence is it based on? What kind of facts is it based on? Is it reflective of some process of meaningful community engagement? And finally, I've heard people say that they don't feel that council is always visionary, but rather tends to be a bit reactionary and takes on more of a caretaking role. So all of those things combined, lack of adequate communication, transparency, and accountability, I think have led the folks in Port Hope to feel that way about the council.
You also mentioned in your platform you want to cut red tape. How do you plan to do that?
Well, I think that we need to look at some of the practices that exist in our different departments and how people interact with our staff. Again, I've heard from the constituents of Port Hope that when they go in and make a request, that it's not always straightforward what they need to do to get to their end goal. Sometimes they're being given information where you have to take these first five steps, and after that, you should have the outcome that you're looking at. And then all of a sudden, the needle shifts and changes, and then it's an additional five steps and it's additional cost. So that when people enter into processes, what I would like them to be assured of is that if they go through the steps that are clearly outlined, that they can count on the outcome that they want, not that it's constantly shifting and changing and there's delays and frustrations and money spent in ways that just defy common sense. So clarity around processes is very important. Clarity around bylaws and what they mean is very important. Plain language explanation of going through processes with the municipality is key.
I'd like to move on to some issues now. Affordable housing is at crisis levels. What role do you see council playing in addressing this serious problem?
Well, it is absolutely one of the key issues, not just for Port Hope, but for the entire county and indeed for the rest of the country as well. I think we need to start with an actual concrete housing strategy that may be linked also to our community improvement plan. We need to have a strategy that has immediate milestones and goals and actions, as well as those that are more medium and long term. We need to work on two fronts. We need to work with developers in a very strong and decisive way to ensure that we have inclusive and upzoning, to make sure that new builds include secondary units, that there's a certain percentage of houses that are always built in our community that are affordable. There's promising practices from other jurisdictions that we can look for in that way. We also really need to encourage the development of secondary units in the areas of Port Hope that already have the social and physical infrastructure in place. Where they are being developed in areas of historic importance, we need to make sure that they have a historic impact assessment done, as well as an economic impact assessment, to make sure that we maintain the quality and the uniqueness of our special neighborhoods in Port Hope. But I also think that there's an opportunity to explore some other immediate models of housing. And here I'm drawing on some of the experiences that I had by bringing in the Ukrainian families into our community. Companion housing, where you can match a family with an older person, a widowed person who wants to age in place in their own home. They're matched with a family in a large home where they each retain their private space, but all of a sudden you have a win-win where there's mutual concern, caretaking, companionship. We've heard back from families saying, oh, we no longer have to worry so much about mom or dad because there's someone else in their home. The person that's bringing in an additional family is saying, it's given me a new lease on life. I'm no longer lonely. We can think more about creative multi-generational housing as well in our community, allowing for young families to come on to an estate that's owned by their parents, and even changing houses to allow for changing housing needs. And of course, tiny homes is an untapped possibility that we really need to be looking at more seriously. We have land, we just need to have the political will to get it done.
Where do you stand on the Garden Hill development?
I am opposed to the Garden Hill development as it now stands. I think that for all the reasons of the public meetings and the report that's been done, I think that there's a lot more work that needs to be done by the developer to ensure that a lot of the concerns are met, whether we're talking about the aquifer, whether we're talking about the protection of the wetlands, whether we're talking about the protection of the turtles on the property and other wildlife. I'm a big proponent, as I said, in starting to densify the areas of Port Hope first that have the social and physical infrastructure to hold, for example, a new apartment building. There's no doubt that there will be some development on that land, but I think we have to approach it, especially on that, in that area that it is, you know, nature is our first stakeholder. And any development really has to, first and foremost, protect that land, and it has to make sense in terms of all of the different considerations that we have in front of us there.
What about homeless people? There are people sleeping in tents in parks and other public spaces. What have you done to it? What do you think needs to be done to address the immediate needs of people, not just the mid and long-term issues of shelter?
Well, of course, the weather is changing. And I know that last year we had even the police having to dig people out of their tents out of the snow. I'd like that not to happen this fall. I'd like us to think of an immediate solution of where we can provide supportive and even temporary housing for these folks. I've mentioned previously that that might happen by thinking about the old Ruth Clark Center that we have on Mill Road, and whether that can be a warming station, whether we can provide some temporary housing there. But for me, that is one of the first priorities that we need to address in our community.
What do you think about the county's plans for agricultural lands, its agricultural mapping?
I think it's a terrific idea. I think we do need to be very serious about protecting our agricultural lands. We do not want to be losing them. The agricultural lands are essential to putting food on our table. I don't think that everybody has enough awareness or education around how important it is to protect them. That said, I do think, based on conversations that I've had with the farming community, that there need to be opportunities for passing down family farms to younger families, to maybe loosening up some of the severance rules around putting on additional houses where you can't farm, so that a family farm can also include the next generation. I also think it's very important that we take another step, and that is to support farmers who want to engage in agro-innovation and looking at other effective farming processes that can be supported by artificial intelligence and perhaps innovative farming practices like vertical farming. So we need to not only protect the land that we have, but we need to find ways to maximize the output of the land that we have. And we also have to think about how the climate is changing farming practices and ensure that we have a very robust climate action plan in place for Port Hope.
Planning committee meetings are jam-packed with people looking to develop individual lots. With the county wanting to concentrate development in focused places like hamlets and villages and towns, are you concerned at all about this kind of piecemeal development that you've alluded to, and how it will impact in the long term agricultural lands?
Absolutely. And I think that one of the challenges of any term of political office is that politicians tend to think in four-year cycles. I think we have to shift that paradigm significantly. I think we need to start to think about long-term planning and what that might look like, and be very clear about where our priorities lie, how we want to see the future of the entire municipality, not just for the one term, but maybe perhaps not for our children, but also our grandchildren. So what is going to be that kind of master plan? And of course, long-term planning is challenging because we have to be flexible, we have to be adaptable. But I do think that we have to have an overall clear vision to move forward.
What more can council do to help local business?
Oh, I think there's a lot that council can do to support and attract local business. I think we need to work more closely with staff to retain the businesses that we have. And I think for some businesses that are located in the downtown core, of course, that's also going to involve looking at how to protect them during the Walton Street construction and the John Street construction over a longer period of time. We need to engage with those businesses. In fact, I had a meeting with the downtown businesses just yesterday to generate some ideas about their fears and their concerns, as well as some of the opportunities that the reconstruction is going to offer. And they're very clear about some of the things that they expect from council and staff moving forward, which is really having a clear plan and communicating that clear plan and listening to the businesses themselves as to what they need. But of course, that is only one part of the business community. In the municipality, there's other businesses that are here right across the two wards. We need to have things like a welcome package for new businesses. We need to have orientation packages. We need to have a clear calendar of events to help to attract tourism into Port Hope. And on that point, we actually need to have somebody who is driving tourism and marketing in our community. We need to have dedicated staff that are working on these issues. We need to have a vibrant calendar of events that brings people into the community, exposing them to the businesses that exist in both wards. And at the end of the day, it's communication, engagement, and listening to the businesses we have, and making it very clear that Port Hope is open for new business, and when someone comes to us with a new idea, our first question should be, tell us more and how can we help? And let's see what industries we can bring in that fit.
There seems to be a steady increase in property taxes. What can you say to people listening who might be concerned about their property taxes going up?
Well, I say this to people when I meet them at the door. I know how governments work, and I certainly know how policy works, and I'm not going to make any promises about lowering taxes. The promise that I make is that there's going to be full transparency on how taxes are spent so that people know exactly what is happening with their tax dollars. The other promise that I make is that we will look very carefully on how we can diversify the tax base through attracting more industry into Port Hope. And the third thing that I say is, because I have a very strong background in grant writing, that we will look for every opportunity to bring more granting opportunities our way so that we can help fund some of our projects and activities. And then finally, I say, because as a political scientist with 25 years of leadership experience, I know what it's like to work across different levels of government, that I will advocate very hard with both the province and the federal government to get as many dollars back into our community as I possibly can. And there are windows of opportunity that are opening in order to ensure that our taxes remain as stable as possible. But I can't always control inflation as a mayor. And so those are the strategies that I would use to try to keep at least as much stability as possible with our taxes.
You mentioned inflation. Most tax increases that municipalities pass are inflationary, 1, 2, 3%. We're experiencing inflation rates of 7 and 8% right now. And I'm sure if anybody was listening, they would be very concerned if the municipality had to make that kind of increase. How do you avoid making such a gargantuan increase?
Well, I think it's just based on what I've already just mentioned to you. There has to be numerous strategies. It has to be a multi-pronged approach. But certainly anybody who says they're going to keep taxes either stable or to cut taxes is going to have to talk about what then services or programming they're going to cut. And so I would propose looking at a number of different strategies to ensure that we can keep what we've got. Also think about addressing some of the new services that we need as demands continue on us with new problems and complex problems. But it's got to be a multi-pronged approach using the strategies I've just mentioned.
What do you do when you're not doing politics or running for mayor? How do you relax? What do you do for fun? Do you have hobbies, guilty pleasures?
I am a former competitive figure skater, so I still love to skate. I absolutely love to ski. I love to run. I love to do any kind of outdoor activities and exercise. I love art and culture. When I have time, I love to go to the theater. I love museums. These are all the things that I think make for a well-balanced life. But I'm passionate about politics, and I always have been. So for me, it's also part of what I love to do.
Why will you be a good mayor?
Because I am motivated by one thing and one thing only: public service. I came to this decision because I believe I have the skill set, a very unique skill set, a leadership skill set to make this community better. I made a very conscious decision to run for mayor because I think that I can make this community better. And I am passionate about Port Hope, and I'm very convinced that the future is bright, that there's an opportunity for a new chapter. And I really, really want to be part of that chapter, representing all areas of Port Hope, all groups and all neighborhoods.
Olena Hankovitsky, thanks for talking to me today.
Thank you very much, Robert. It's been a pleasure.
That was Olena Hankovitsky, candidate for mayor of Port Hope. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.